priority to have my family with me. It really is. A couple times, maybe in a year's time, where they might not be able to join me, but that definitely is rare. And so we do thank God for the obviously. You know, she homeschools on the road. We have everything we own is portable and can be traveled with and different things. And so I understand it's not life for everybody. Lord has made us, create us this way. In fact, we look at what you do, brother, and be like, I tip my hat to you, my friend. Y'all stay in one place or whatever. I guess we're so used to moving, and ever since I finished up college, I guess, I have lived out of a suitcase. So truly, I do not know any other kind of life, I guess, so to speak. And so whatever it be, I do thank God, you know, for our family, Lord bless us with. And really, I just want to make sure you get a prayer card. At the end, my daughters most likely will be there in the back. And what we do is just, you know, want you to get one. We want you, obviously, it's a prayer card. We want you to pray for us. Not just a little picture, not like, ah, that's cute. No, I mean, I know there's a couple of folks up there cute, but I realize that. But however, I really hope that you will take in consideration to commit to pray for our family. I'll tell you honestly, we want God's power on where we go. If I was just checking off boxes and just doing things, I assure you, I would find something else to do with my time and with my life. I want God's power. And by the grace of God, I want the ministry at the end of it all, no matter what it is. Psalm 84 left my life first. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And by the grace of God, God things happen. You know, we've seen what man can do. We've seen that. You know, I'm sure some nice things may come to pass or whatever. You know, some good principles behind it. But by the grace of God, to see what God's power can do behind individual. And that happens by the prayer of God's people. We'll be in Central America. Many of you have been knowing that. Yo estoy tratando de aprender español. Been trying to learn Spanish. Espero que este año, not este año, próximo año, yo quiero predicar en español. I'm hoping next year that I'll be preaching in Spanish for the first time, prayerfully. You pray about that. You know, some of you, like, you talk that fast in Spanish? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I am humbled when somebody comes at the end of the service, Brother Adrian, I can understand you. English is not my first language, and the conviction just rolls over me because I know that feeling to sit in a Spanish service and they're introducing you to preach and you're still looking there smiling going, amen, you know. So understand that totally, but you pray for our family as we take the beginning of our year typically, and we take a couple months to be able to minister to the same thing we do here in the United States. We do in Central America, so you pray for our family as we do so. All right, I want you to buy what we're going to be looking in the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter. If you didn't think it kind of got dicey today, wait till you hear my introduction, okay? And I want you to look at this, and I'm going to make a lot of preface statements to the message because I do not like being misunderstood, and I do want you to see the passage of Scripture like you've never seen this passage of Scripture before. In fact, I hope the next time you go through your devotional time, it might be months from now, it could be even a year from now, that I want you to remember this truth as we go through. But let me set the stage of where I'm at. Yeah, I have never really been accused of being a political junkie, okay? I watch the news out of necessity just so I don't show up into the church and someone tells me, do you realize we're doing blah, blah, blah in our country and I don't look like someone who has no idea what is taking place? You know, it really wasn't entertaining to me, you know? I remember just thinking to myself, you know, it's just politics and different things, but anybody who's kind of paid attention halfway has known that the last 4 or 8 years has not lacked entertainment in the political field, okay? It's been the red team versus the blue team, and the blue team doesn't like, and there's a group that don't like the red team or the blue team, you know? I mean, it's just been a lot going on in our world. For lack of better terms, there's been a lot of drama. I don't know how many times you have been watching the news, and the only reason your fists do not go through the TV is because you're still paying for it on your credit card at that time. Frustrations have risen. I could right now just go through and give you news events, and without even thinking about it, some blood would boil. Hashtag me too. Hashtag MAGA. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. Hashtag big is strong. Hashtag all these things conjure up something. When years ago it did not. I began The Bible has the answer to everything. I am not preaching a political message, but I am preaching to you something that I do believe comes from the playbook of the early church. It's not going to seem like what we think the answer is going to be. To what do we do when ignorance and foolishness really is at an all-time high? Before we just read the passage, let me tell you what's going on. There's a key person we must understand from church history. His life, we're going to begin, just give you the background of where it is, and then we're going to lead into this passage and we'll read it together. This person was 8 years old when his father died. His father had died, and he didn't really care too much for his father, sadly enough. And he was raised then by, actually, it was not his mother, but it was actually his stepmother. He didn't have a lot of care for him, but he found out how his dad had died. Actually, his stepmother killed him by giving him poison in his food and killed him. He was aware that this took place, and knowing that and carrying that burden that your mother pretty much had killed your father. When he was a teenager, he committed his very first murder. He was walking to school. And on his way to school, a bully got in his way. And as that bully got in his way, he was so tired of being bullied by this individual that actually he took his life. Because of his position in the community, this young man was never punished for what he did. No jail time. He was not a very attractive man. In fact, he was many times made fun of because of the way he looked and the skin things that he had going on as well. And so whenever he didn't really try it in, one of the big areas he never fit in was that of getting a bride. And as he would go, he actually got this one girl and he married her. After he married her, he saw another woman to whom he desired. And so he called somebody and ordered a hit on his current wife, had her killed, then loosening him up to be able to be married to another. After being married to her, he sees another man who has a wife prettier than his. So he then finds somebody else to kill the man. After kills the man, then poisons the wife, and then marries the woman. He got older. He got tired of his mom kind of telling him what to do, so to speak. And so the very way, same way he killed, had his father kill, he killed her. This man was an animal, guys. He's a horrible person. He had an absolute detest for Christianity. His name was Nero. Nero was the ruler during the time I am getting ready to read to you. As Nero was that ruler, this early church, Nero, for those who know church history, was the one who brought in and ushered into these, what we're getting, some have called the 10 great persecutions of the early church. With this man being the ruler, the Apostle Peter writes to this church. As he's writing to this church, he is telling them how to respond to somebody who is irrational, to respond to a situation in government that is inconceivable.
We're going to see what his advice is. It's not what we think.
In 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You realize what he just told those folks to do? The decree that was made. I want you to read verse 15, because I believe our hearts many times are this way. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Let us see what it does not say. For so is the will of God, that with for hateful speech around the water cooler at work is going to put to ignorance the silence of foolish men. For so is the will of God, that with crazy memes and bumper stickers, we are going to make them put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. For so is the will of God with well-doing. Ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The weapon that the early church used. Let's talk about this for a moment. Let's practically pray. Father in heaven, I am grieved by the United States, many decisions that have been made, things that have happened in the last 10, 12, however long ago we go back. God, I pray that I would respond biblically, not just emotionally or erratically. Lord, help me to see from your word what you expect of us. I certainly do pray, Lord, that as a country, as a people, we will draw close to you. But I do pray, Lord, that we would see from the playbook of groups of people who changed the entire world upside down what they did and how they responded to foolish men. Please give me wisdom and direction. Let me be clear from your word, what you say, empty me of myself, fill me with thy spirit, to say that which you'd have me to say, for it's in Christ's name you certainly pray it all. Amen. So as you read this passage, imagine coming up in the back row, a little running late for church, and as you're running late for church, you see that this is being read and what's from the Apostle Peter of what your response should be to a corrupt government. That is the first thing that we see in these first verses, is how to respond to that. He uses a word in verse number 13, the word that shall be that which I believe is the playbook from the early church, and that is the word submit. When we say the word submit, automatically our mind goes to weakness sometimes. But let me give you from Adrian Rogers a definition of submission that I think to be on point. Submission. When two equals. But one equal puts themselves under another equal for the glory of God. Yeah, two equals. Two equals. But one decides. Not because I got this, not because I got this, but for the glory of God, I will place myself under this other equal. What you find here in the early church is its aspect of submitting themselves to every ordinance of man in verse number 13 for the Lord's sake. Now, automatically, minds are going, Adrian, what if the government tells you something wrong? We're going to get to that, okay, in just a bit. But let's just start here with the principle. Now, let me tell you, this is another preface to the preface that I'm already giving to you is this. I am telling you what the early church did. I am not telling you how submission looks like in every single area of life. You remember that when we get to point number two. I am not telling you every area for your life. You have the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you. But I believe the principle that is taught in this passage is something that we do need to heed, okay? So that's a preface. Now, let's first talk about this. Because this matter about submission and thinking of its weakness is actually such a disgrace. Because actually, in Luke chapter number 7, you don't have to turn there, but you find that if the number one way to lose your authority is to then not to submit. Okay, every person in this world submits to somebody. And if you do not submit to somebody, you will lose your authority. Now, think about this. This is so interesting. In Luke 7, the centurion man, remember the centurion, the guy that had a servant, and he had his servant, he wanted his servant to be healed, and he comes to Jesus. This man says something that nobody else says, and when you read it carefully, you see why Jesus is so wowed by this man's response. He comes to Jesus, and he asks the healing, and Jesus already knows why he's come, and he says this to Jesus, I am a man like you. I'm like you. The centurion compares himself to Christ. You say, why on earth would he compare himself in Luke to Christ? Because he said, I am a man who has people under me, but he still has to submit to an authority figure in his life. Now, Jesus did the will of his Father. And this man was one of the few people to realize this man is doing the Father's will. Now, the moment you leave that area, you lose your authority. Sometimes, Dad, I don't have the authority in my home. It's just she doesn't submit. Well, am I submitting to God? Because even though I still have the title, I do not have the authority when I don't follow the submission train. But you look at this in any aspect. You know any person who's read leadership books, Maxwell, anybody knows. If you can have a title on your door that says you are the boss, but many times when you got to remind people you're the boss, you're really not the boss. You might have the position, but you do not have authority if you do not properly submit to the right channels. Understand this. We lose our authority when we stop submitting the authority God's placed over us. So you look at this passage going through. You say, but Adrian, what about all the injustice that's happened in our land, and how then does one respond to the injustice? Well, I believe in the book of Acts, you see that played out picture perfect. But let's understand what happened. Remember, they took the disciples, and as they took the disciples, they said, stop teaching and preaching in Jesus' name. Well, the disciples left and said, obviously, this is against God. And so what did they say? We ought to obey God rather than man. But listen, when it came time to pay the piper, they put their hands out. They were arrested. They were beaten. And when they got out, they were saying, glory to God, we suffered for his sake. Now, it could be that we enjoy the renegade cowboy part over here. I'm going to obey God rather than men. And when persecution comes, oh no, take it from the early church. When the persecution came, they took it. But my friend, if the only thing that we want to touch is our rights and what we deserve, we lose this area of submission. Peter's speaking, obviously, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he's going through this. And as he continues, he gets personal. So he starts off by talking about the government. Then he starts getting in people's business in verse number 18. He says in verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the foe. For this is thankworthy. If a man, for conscience' sake and toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully, For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. If you were to kind of just put some layers over here of historical times, this would be the time of Aristotle, Plato-ish, whatever time that you find. So I'm just going by his writings during this time. As during Aristotle's time, he mentions this, which is so interesting. The way that people were treated, especially servants and slaves. Now, obviously, slaves obviously has a definite rub, obviously, in our culture. But let me just explain. Roman times, 70% of people were slaves, right? So you got your doctor slave, your lawyer slave, your clean your shoes slave. I mean, everybody was a slave, for crying out loud, right? And so I understand that there was that aspect over there, but for the majority that were general labor, slaves or servanthood, masters, that lingo was normally used. So let's take it in our context, and I'm going to give it an employer-employee type application for as we see this together. Now, what would happen during this time is Aristotle described in his writings that if you saw a servant during this time, you had a servant and you had a shovel. Some people would view their servants as simply the difference between the servant and the shovel is the servant breathes and the shovel does not. People were no more than tools. No more than profit. Can you imagine coming to a church in this service, slipping on in? You're kind of dumbfounded because you didn't get quite the context about honor the king who just killed his third wife. And then you get this, though. He says, be subject to your own masters. Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the forward. He says, how on earth do I show up on time to a man who treats me like an animal? Two equals. But one equal puts themselves under another for the glory of God. We're going to keep on because I know this is not going to sound great. Hear my closing, then judge me, okay? You continue to read. He says, only way you can do this is verse 21. Hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who was he? Was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who himself bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He says the only way we can do this is to remember our ultimate example. In verse number 23, there's many things you can say about what Christ did, but one thing about the reviling that Christ did is he threatened not. Now, go to the cross and put yourself in that situation, having all power and not using it. Now, I might see the end game goal, that I got to do this for the redemption of all mankind. But I tell you, there have been a couple of smart remarks that have come out of my mouth on the cross now. Get it ready to nail, and they're spitting all in the face and different things. And Christ didn't look at them and said, well, y'all just keep on doing this. Y'all wait until Gog and Magog. I'm going to come back and kill all of you. You heard of Armageddon? Yeah, yeah. I mean, you think about it. He could have threatened, but he did not. How often do I look in my life and even though I'm taking the high road, I'm running my mouth while I take the high road. I'm running my mouth about, well, y'all treat me like this because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, you idiots. We look at them and suddenly we can use what God has done for us
as a tool to grind and to make them feel.
He says, no, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the forward as well.
And he says, for what thing is it? I mean, for somebody who you work for and they hug you and give you that a boy and we say all these things. Who? He says, what about supernatural love for a person who does nothing for you?
As if that wasn't personal enough. He digs one more time, Peter. One more time. He starts about talking of corrupt government. He continues and talks about a corrupt boss or a master. Then in chapter number 3, he says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Before we think that this is an only a woman passage here, the same likewise in verse number 1 is the same likewise in verse number 7, and it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessels, and as being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. He starts with the government. What do you do? Well doing. He then goes down smaller. What about your job? When you're treated like junk, what do you do? Then he gets even smaller. Because in the house, were wives who came by themselves with a husband at home. There were husbands who were there by themselves because their wife is at the house. Can I remind you again, I am not telling you what submission looks like in every single person's individual life. But as he looks here, he does say this, that this man in this wife's case can be won then without a word by the conversation then of the wife. I do not want to go to say what it does not say because I clearly understand that you will put the two and two together of what it does not say. But it does say to the gentleman here, it says, dwell with them according to knowledge. I know the running joke among men is we just don't understand women and different things, but God did not ask you to understand all women. He just asked you to be a student of your wife. And he said, you dwell with them according to knowledge. You don't get them. You become the student of them. You study them. You ask God for wisdom of how it is you as a man can then come to your wife and show proper love. But she don't want it. Show it. And as a woman as well, to a husband that doesn't get the things of God, he's saying then, let your conversation, let it be your life goal and not just prayer requests, but your heart. To be able to win that husband. As you look at this, as you see this, it gets super personal. In fact, in verse number 7, Christ says in verse 7, it says that your prayers be not hindered. It's not a matter that God's going to hear a fuzzy connection coming up to heaven. This is the same word that is used, hindered. The prayers be not hindered, same word that is used. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out. The word that's used is when your arm, if your arm offend thee, then you what you do, the word is this, cut it off. That means fully functioning prayer life, fully functioning prayer, cut off. When you choose not to dwell with them according to knowledge. You say, Adrian, that's rough. Yeah. But do you know why he says what he says? It comes down, verse Peter, I'm almost done. A lot has been said. A lot of feelings were hurt. Verse 14 says, but, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always
to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, I understand 1 Peter 3:15 is used for the apologetics persons go to. There's nothing wrong with that. Defend your faith. But understand what's going on. He's telling them to, you're essentially taking the wrong. You're taking the wrong, big time. And the government at inside the workplace and at home, he says, you take that. And he says, there's going to be a day when you submit, and God blesses that submission, not weakness, submission, that you ain't got to go knock on their door. They're going to come knocking on your door. Say, what do you mean? To where true submission is taking place. A boss comes to an employee. How is it? So-and-so just died in my life. How is it that every time you come to work, I treat you like garbage? I disrespect you. I disrespect your religion. I disrespect your views. How is it that you still come to work? You seem to have a peace that I don't get. How do you do that? What he's saying is, you be ready that when they come to you and they ask you about how it is, you can have peace. In a political climate of absolute craziness, how can you have peace? You be ready to answer them of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Don't be bragging. Don't start giving yourself a pat on the back. Don't let it go to your head. No. Keep it in wraps. But you tell them about the only way you can keep it together is because of a God you trust. That even though it ain't going hunky-dory and the way I thought the United States should go, I still have my peace and my hope and someone greater. I still trust him. And guess what? He wrote a book, and it's called the Bible. I trust him with it. What happened during this time was this in the early church. Historical accounts. People would come in to execute the punishment of evildoers, or however it is, they come in and they had their swords and they were commanded to kill these families. Those men who were executing that order, some would come in and see a familiar faces, just see faces of a family curled in a corner crying for mercy. He would then take that sword, he threw it down. What makes you people do this? What makes you people die for your faith? Do you know sometimes why it is that we get poked fun of as Christians and different things about it? It's because when we think about it truly and honestly, we have to take into consideration, do I bear even a scotch of that commitment? Because that is the kind of commitment of submission that makes a lost world say, you got something I ain't got. A lot of times they see our lives as nothing more than having inconvenience that happened to be on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. When's the last time they've seen in our life? Supernatural. Oh, it's natural to like the boss who likes you. That's natural. Anybody can do that. Oh, it's natural when the political ties and the political things in circle are going the way we like. It's easy to be happy. It's easy to have a good spirit. It's easy when your husband and wife holding hands, walking to church. And it's easy. What he's saying is when you don't. Well doing. You may put to silence the ignorance of foolishness. You know, this is hard
You know why waiting on God during these times is so hard? Because waiting on God is a reminder that I am not in control. It's a reminder. It's out of your hands. And that's why one of the hardest things to do is trust and say, God, I'm going to, with well-doing, respond properly to the ignoramuses that I believe decisions things taking place. This, and I went to Pensacola. Y'all know PCC, Pensacola Christian College. When I was there getting my master's degree, hey, we'll be back up, book getting a master's degree out there. And one of the things I did on the weekends, I don't know why it started or how it started, but there were international students who would come to Pensacola, and many of them did not know how, they had a license back in their country, but not in the United States. And so what I would do is I would just help them out, brush up on their driving skills. On a Friday night, we'd go to like an industrial park or whatever it be. They would drive so they could be able to get polished up so that they could be able to get their license. Whenever I would have somebody come in the car and I say, hey, Adrian, we hear that you help people out. And I said, yeah, man, you come meet me on Friday. We'll go out to a place. And one person got inside the car. This was American. She got inside a car. Which one's the brake and which one's the gas? When we start with that question, get a little nervous. You know? When I explain to them how to drive, one of the things I want them to know the most is where the brake is. We can recover from a lot as long as we know where the brake is. I think that we see the break as weakness, folks. Here's what strength, we consider strength to be. To put our foot on the gas. Let me tell you my rights, and let me tell you exactly what it is. Let me tell you this, and let me tell you why he, and he, and he, and she are all wrong. Bunch of morons. I think sometimes we pride the fact of putting our foot on the gas. Anybody can do that. What about having truth? And let it live through me. Let my family be a testimony of it. Let your family be a testimony of it. Not 15 points and opinions of why. No, no, no. Let your life speak. Because submission, two equals. But one will place himself under the other, not because they're better, not because they're worse or inferior or not smart, but for the glory of God. God help us. They take a playbook from the playbook of the other church and learn how to submit. Let me pray together.